Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pep Talks. It's Eddie Pepitone from his apartment on my phone again. I didn't have time to go into the studio with Steve. Hope everybody's good. Let's see. Right at the top, I want to say I have... what do I have? I have the show, my one-man show, at the Lyric Hyperion May 9th and 10th. I believe I was saying 8th and 9th on the last podcast. It's May 9th and 10th at the Lyric Hyperion here in L.A., my show In the End of Days. If you get a chance, please come out. It's in L.A., the Lyric Hyperion Theater. And I'm here in my apartment. I have Basil, my little doggy, my little rescue Chihuahua, Lasso, Opso, Mix, and Charlotte is underneath. I'm on a recliner. Not to brag, I'm on a recliner. And Charlotte is underneath the recliner. You know how you go up in the air, and I have Basil up on me, and Charlotte's below me. And I think that's a funny thing to say. You know how you go up in the air on a recliner? And I also have I'm about to sneeze. Now, I could have, like, muted it or pressed the pause button, but I want you to hear all of the life sounds that goes on. You know, I think you're the type of audience who isn't afraid of hearing life. And that was a sneeze. I've been sneezing a lot. Where I live in LA, they're doing a lot of construction. As a lot of you know who live in cities, that's all they do now. They gentrify neighborhoods. And by they, I mean the landowners, the people who own property, the moneyed interests, they're just interested in generating more money. Nobody's really concerned with quality of life. That, you know, quality of life is low on the list in this country. Quality of life. You know what? You could go fuck yourself if you want quality of life. That's not happening. What's going to happen is that money is going to be maximized. Like, you know, if property owners can build, that's what they will do. They will build, and it doesn't matter about the construction, which stirs up so much dust. Construction stirs up so much dust, and I think that's why I've been sneezing. I was thinking maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just seasonal. Maybe it's just pollen. It's May. Well, it's April. It's April 25th. It's April 25th. I am doing this April 25th. And I just want to say, you know, I just wanted to get in a podcast. I'm traveling to New York tomorrow. That's another thing I want to promote. I am going to be Sunday at the Colony, Sunday at the Colony Theater, April 29th in Woodstock, New York. If you are in the Woodstock area, New Paltz, Saugerties, Kingston, or you want to drive up, it's a two-hour drive up from New York City, please come up and see me at the Colony Theater, April 29th at 8 p.m. And I'm hoping to get a big crowd. Should be great. Looking forward to it. And I have next to me here a sound machine. I'm so sensitive to noise. As I've gotten older, I've become more sensitive to noise. I read somewhere that it's not cool to complain about noise. And yeah, I get that. I get that because it's almost like talking about the weather, I think. You know, as you get older, you start, you know, going, well, yeah, the weather is, it's just kind of chilly, and it's supposed to snow tomorrow. You know, that's not cool to do as well, right? To talk about the weather and talking about noise, like, oh, it's so noisy. I really hate that because, you know, it's just not cool, you know, to talk about the noise. But I'm all about my surroundings now, and particularly noise. I really am not into it. So I have this machine next to me. Oh, can you hear that? Can you hear that in the background? That's a motorcycle. Just a fucking monstrosity. The level of noise that motorcycles, you know, the Harleys, I guess in particular, the fact that they are allowed to exist in really tight residential neighborhoods to me is insane. They're another one of my nemesis motorcycle riders. Also, cars that get souped up are insane as well. You know, cars that have really loud engines. It's hilarious. There's one in my building here, and not only is the engine really fucking loud, but the guy who drives it, whenever he comes in to the garage, he's got the radio pumped up to insane volume. So this guy can't get enough noise. Now, I actually do like to play the radio loud too in my car, you know, but it's, you know, it's opera, it's Sinatra. It is rock as well. There is rock. I like to play loud. But I try to be aware of it once I'm like around people, you know. I like to do that on the highway or something. I feel like I'm being very boring right now. But I'm just talking about what's going on. I have rainfall, so I bought this sound machine. I bought this sound machine, and I have rainfall sounds next to me, which I like, you know. And it's an adaptive. It's called adaptive. Like, supposedly the sounds will adapt to the noise level. Like, it's just supposed to be, you know, a noise machine for me. Like, replacing the shitty beeping bullshit that I hear a lot of the day with, you know, pleasanter sounds. You know, white noise. There's something called there's something called pink noise. I don't know what that is. And then different settings like rainfall, oceans, brooks, stuff like that. But enough about noise. You know what it's really about? I like when I think about it. It's about me being on edge. That's what it's really about. You know, this noise, it's a reflection of the fact that I am on edge. And, you know, I kind of dedicate my life, at least I think I do, I kind of dedicate my life to finding peace, you know. I mean, I mean, there's all sorts of things, right, that one dedicates their life to. Like, I've dedicated my life to being a comedian, to being funny. But actually, is that a dedication? You know, I mean, I'm dedicated in the sense that that's what I'm driven to do. Like, I've always been driven to be funny. Now, a lot of that, though, is selfish, though. Like, because a lot of the desire to be funny is, you know, the desire to be, you know, adulated, to be adored, like to get on stage and like be funny. And then what I get from that is, oh, people love me. You know what I mean? Like, so really, is that a dedication of life? Like, it's not like I'm in Doctors Without Borders. It's not like I'm in Doctors Without Borders, like dedicating my life to helping people. But, you know, I can spin it and say, oh, I've dedicated my life to being funny, because when someone is funny, that helps people, because, you know, laughter takes people, you know, out of their troubles. It helps, you know, laughter helps. And really, that is kind of, you know, what we need is, I mean, one of the big things we need is sense of humor and seeing the absurdity, the light touch. I tend not to have a light touch. I tend to have, and in my comedy as well, a heavy touch. Like, you know, my show In the End of Days is comedy that takes place in the apocalypse. My comedy, you know, always has this dark tinge to it. Very dark tinge. I'm not light. You know, Pete Holmes is light. If you've seen, if you watch Pete's comedy, Jerry Seinfeld is light. You know, a lighter, just light. Where I'm born, you know, my comedy is born out of angst, and so really, what I do is just. It's like comedy is just been my means of expression of the fucking angst that won't go away. And you know, I was hoping it would go away, and I'm trying to think what I do to make it go away. I work out 3 times a week with a trainer, and that always helps. That helps a great deal. So exercise is good. Exercise is really good, and that does help. And this might be a good time for one of our sponsors. Okay, you know, we've been doing sponsorship, and Root Cheese for Your Health is a latest thing from Root Cheese. Right now in Australia, the deadliest place on earth, kangaroos outnumber people 2-1. This makes the health benefits of kangaroo cheese obvious. For thousands of years, the indigenous people of Australia have kept the medicinal properties of kangaroo cheese a secret. That is until one of their scientists escaped a top secret Aboriginal lab and came to California in 1996. Now you too can reap the benefits that have been locked away in the marsupial pouch of one of nature's most mysterious creatures. Root cheese is crafted using the most technical and modern techniques science has to offer. Our cheese is hand-harvested by Aboriginal children as village elders sing time-forgotten hymns in an unknown tongue, set to the sounds of the incoherent teeth clacking of the crippled and insane. The mucusy discharge is paraded past a line of menstruating virgins who only know fear, and at the end of a long haul, the kangaroo. I'm sorry, folks. I Root cheese is a very serious thing, and it's hard to get through. But long hauls always make me laugh. Let me read that again. The mucusy discharge is paraded past a line of menstruating virgins who only know fear, and at the end of a long haul, the kangaroo excretions are placed onto a dais as an offering to an unnamed god. Now, I laugh, folks, but Root Cheese is an excellent product, and you really need to buy this. I mean, look what goes into it, you know. Okay, let me finish. Upon leaving the inner sanctum, the children explode into flame, painting their weeping mothers with their ash. High in antioxidants and packed with vitamins, let Root Cheese be a part of your health conscience, your health conscious diet. So Root Cheese, yeah, a lot goes on with Root Cheese. And that is a lot of it. So anyway, there's an example. Now, there's an example of exactly what I was talking about. Commercials written by Matt Rossomoto, who produces the podcast as well. That's an example of what I am talking about. That fucking made me laugh very hard. It's the first time I read it. And, you know, I'm reading to you, and please buy Root Cheese. It's kangaroo, you know, it's marsupial cheese. And, you know, you heard how it's made. It's fucking biblical. So please get your hands on some Root Cheese and, you know, spread it on any kind of cracker, any kind of toast, any kind of bun. I like to put my Root Cheese on the head of an action figure, preferably the Joker. If you the Joker action figure in the Batman series by I think it's Marvel, but just put Rucci's on that and lick it off the Joker's the top of the Joker's head. I don't know, makes me feel good. But anyway, that example, reading that commercial and making me laugh, it lightened me up because I'm feeling anxious. I'm traveling to New York. And that's always a funny thing, like a trip you're looking forward to, yet there's anxiety in it, and it's like you would think. By the way, I'm laughing too because I have on a rain machine. I have on a fan. I have a fan for white noise. I have a rain machine. I'm surrounded by comfort. I got my little doggies next to me. I'm lying in bed now. I left the recliner and went upstairs, lying in bed and just hanging out. And I just, as I'm talking to you, I hear the rain, the rain machine. And it just strikes me as funny that, we live in such a noisy era that we have to surround ourselves with artificial sounds, and particularly rain out here in Southern California, very rare occurrence. But anyway, that was that felt good to get that cathartic laugh from the Rucci's commercial. And by the way, there's nothing funny about Rucci's once you've had it, and that is a guarantee from me. I'm going to say that again. Once you have had Rucci's, you are going to realize there's nothing funny at all about it. The commercials may, make me laugh, but Rucci's is a serious, serious business. Any cheese that's made involving a long haul, and I don't mean H-A-U-L, I mean H-A-L-L. Any cheese that involves a long haul, H-A-L-L, is a cheese not to be fucked with. And that, to me, that should be the slogan of Rucci's. A cheese not to be fucked with. And, it's finally available to everybody, and, make the most of it. Rucci's, one of the sponsors on Pep Talks. I'm doing a solo podcast for the first time in a while, and I'm anxious about going to New York. I always get anxious the day before a trip. I'm taking the red eye tomorrow night, and it's the day here, and we're taking a red eye Thursday night and arriving in New York Friday morning, and real early, like 6 a.m. arriving in New York, and just talking about the irony of like looking forward to a trip, but also there's dread in it. And that's I always have dread involved in what I do. Like, I dread things. I dread, I dread just the simplest things, like, getting up and going to, getting in the car here in LA and just driving, there's just, I don't know what it is. I mean, dread is a good word, though. I usually call it anxiety. I'm always battling anxiety, and I don't know what I'm anxious about. I had gotten into the riff before about, that I've dedicated my life to being a comedian, and then I started to dissect why, and part of it is that I just love to be funny, but the egotistical part of it is that I want to be the center of attention, the typical psychological makeup of a stand-up, like I want to be the center of attention and that kind of thing. I'm just realizing as I'm talking to you, I'm realizing we did have some Google voicemail. So let me pause this, and I'm going to get to the Google voicemail. Hold on.
Okay, hi. Yeah, so we had a bunch of voicemails. I'm going to play a couple right now. I hope you can hear them. Here we go.
Yeah, is this where I can buy a book on edible seaweeds? I'll take my question off of you. Thank you.
That was Jim Earle. Where can I buy a book on edible seaweeds? Oh, God. Yeah. You know, I believe, you know, booksellers that specialize in edible seaweeds are usually in coastal towns. Now, edible seaweeds, you know, I am a vegan, but edible seaweeds... that's funny. My friend Jim Earle's a comedian, very funny man. That does sound, edible seaweed. I've never been a big seaweed fan. They make these little seaweed crackers that my wife likes. And she eats them, and I watch her eat the seaweed, like, wafer kind of things, and I have no interest in them. When I was Italian, we never had a big, like, you know, my grandmother, who was the matriarch of the my Italian family, was never like, you know, we're seaweed tonight, seaweed a la bolognese, you know, seaweed. No seaweed. So edible seaweeds are, you know, they're not something that I have sought after in my life. It's a great question of where can I buy a book on edible seaweeds? I'll take my question off the air. Jim is a funny man, and playing with the genre of radio, I will take my question off the air. By the way, I am going to go to the Botanical Gardens tomorrow. I'm leaving on a red eye, but during the day I'm going to go to the Botanical Gardens with my wife. We're going to go to this beautiful place called Huntington Gardens, and it should be great. It could be a good way to, like, leave L.A. It is a quiet place. Again, I'm really into the quiet... You know, oh, man, the dread has to leave me. What is the dread? You know, my friend says it's trauma. He says it's trauma from early childhood. I'm not sure. Now, this is a weird one. I heard that this is just, this next one, I really can't even play. It's just a bizarre... And I'm getting some bizarre people, but let me play it to you. I don't know if you could hear this.
Hi. I heard a rumor today that Gabourey Sidibe removed her own tonsils with a Swiss Army knife and then cauterized the wounds with the burning end of a blunt yesterday. I was wondering, what's the most badass thing you ever did?
Yeah, so I don't know if you heard that, but it's somebody saying somebody took out their own tonsils with a cauterized knife and cauterized it with a burning blunt. And what is the most badass thing I ever did? I don't know. Eating a pudding at 3 a.m, which goes against everything the medical people say. All right, what else do we have here? I'm going to play another one.
It's your boy, Johnner here. I have a question. Actually, I had an interesting conversation with a friend about being cryogenically preserved. And it was kind of interesting because this is somebody who is so crippled with depression and so unhappy with their life. I wouldn't expect them to want to have another chance at it. But I think that's an interesting question. So I guess it's a question for you and Steve. If you could be cryogenically preserved, would you take that option? All right.
Okay, now there's a question. Now that was interesting. I don't know if you guys heard it, but a gentleman said, you know, he has a friend who's really depressed, but he wants to be cryogenically preserved. Cryogenically preserved, and you know, why would you want a second chance if you're already depressed? And I agree with that sentiment. You know, I would not want to be – the whole idea of being cryogenically preserved seems to me to be so fucking insane and so not worth it. As much as I am afraid of death, and I am petrified of death, and maybe that is the key to why I feel dread all the time, you know, because that's what, you know, that's what the enlightened ones, should I just call them the enlightened ones, say about the basis, the crux, the root of fear is the fear of death. Like, all fear is the fear of death. And I definitely am so afraid of dying. I don't, you know, I'm clinging to life. And I remember a line in a Dylan song which said, he passionately hated his life and likewise feared his death. So maybe the key to getting out of the fear of death is to have gratitude in this life and just being grateful for every moment. And, you know, and then you don't fear death because you're so in the process of life. And that's my problem, I think, is that I don't have enough gratitude. I just don't. You know, I want to have enough gratitude. I want to have gratitude, but I just don't. And I'm not sure why I don't have enough gratitude. But it is a time. It is time for another sponsor. Hold on. Okay. This is a new sponsor, the Chatsworth Actors Guild. So here we go. Oh, God. Again, written by Matt Rasamoto. Do you love the sights, sounds, and feel of the stage? Do you have a rapacious lust for acting? Join the fun at the Chatsworth Actors Guild. If you love acting and no stage is too small, be part of the Chatsworth Actors Guild. You might recognize some of our members from roles such as Secretary Without Computer Skills, Angry Sibling Who Becomes Oddly Submissive, Masseuse Late on Rent, Fancy Curator with New Exhibit, Confused Patient Revived by Blowjob. Confused Patient Revived by Blowjob, Dental Hygienist. Those are some of the Chatsworth Actors Guild members, what they've played. I'm going to read them again because they're worth repeating. And this is what you get. If you go to the Chatsworth Actors Guild, you can be part of just an incredible burgeoning field of, you know, showbiz. And here are some of the roles that the Chatsworth Actors Guild people have played. Secretary Without Computer Skills. It's people sitting at a desk and they have no computer skills. Angry Sibling Who Becomes Oddly Submissive. I think that role speaks for itself. Masseuse Late on Rent. And what masseuse, you know, hasn't been laid on rent. Fancy Curator with New Exhibit. Confused Patient Revived by Blowjob. That's my favorite. And Dental Hygienist. CAG members are entitled to a variety of benefits, including full access to the Backpage online casting database, collective bargaining power of men named after body parts they dismember, pension planning in case you survive past 30 years. By the way, that is a funny one. Pension planning in case you survive past 30, not 30 years, pension planning in case you survive past 30. And that is a true thing about acting. It takes a lot to survive past 30. It really does. I mean, if you could survive past 30 in the acting industry, you're good. Health plan eligibility for all your sloppy holes and much more. Yes, the world is your oyster when you join CAG. Join Chatsworth Actors Guild now and receive 30% off of any LA Fitness membership. So, yeah, that's the Chatsworth Actors Guild. So, yeah, I have to have more gratitude, and the Chatsworth Actors Guild certainly is something to be grateful for. If you're a young actor and you don't know what to do with your life because you're filled with dread and you don't know where that dread comes from, which is my story. I don't know where that dread comes from. But let me go back to, cryogenically frozen, by the way. Who the fuck would want to be cryogenically frozen? What the fuck does that even mean? You know what I mean? I don't,
I personally, I don't know about you folks, but I don't like things in my freezer except ice cubes. The other stuff that comes out of the freezer, you know, different kind of, you know, well, ice cream is good. I would, you know, ice cream should be frozen, not human beans. You know, it cryogenically frozen. So you get awoken, you know, 100 years down the line to what? You know what this planet's going to be like in 100 years? It's going to be something that Philip K. Dick would never have imagined. All right, here's another call we got this week. And I'm going to give you out the number pretty soon. But here we go. Here we go. This is Roger. My buddy Roger Talkington. Okay, here we go.
Yo, Eddie, it's Roger from Middle Mordor. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Hey, how long do you think it'll be before at one of these Bohemian Grove meetings they'll have a Charlton Heston movie marathon and rediscover Soylent Green and realize that the cure for cleaning up the homeless population is to turn them into protein bars for, I don't know, high-end health clubs, maybe first, see how that goes, then maybe start a chain of restaurants, fast food restaurants, because nobody knows what's in the secret sauce, nobody knows what's in the Colonel's special recipe, nobody knows what the fuck is in a White Castle burger, so who's to say they have to tell what the secret is on their burgers, or whatever they decide to shape us into and prepare us for consumption. All right. Any ideas?
Right. So, Roger, thank you. Well, Roger's of course, after my own heart, because that addresses the problem. Soylent Green, Roger. I hope you heard it, but Roger was talking about when are the oligarchs, when are the rich gonna finally turn homeless people into patties? You know, Soylent Green. If you remember that movie, they're people. You know, I mean, that's basically what the rich are doing to the poor, aren't they? I mean. Commodification. I've talked about this before. Everything is a commodity now in this society. Everything is commodified. You know, human life is commodified. That's why, you know, in my neighborhood, you know, they just build. They just do construction, construction, construction. They don't give a fuck about the noise. They don't give a fuck about the people. It's all about maximizing profit. And if they could take homeless people and grind them up, and just poor people, and I consider myself one of them. So I, you know, when I say homeless people, I fucking know that I am a threat away from that, you know, and that's part of my dread too, you know, as an artist and someone who doesn't regularly sell out because I'm not given the chance. you know, I fear homelessness, and I would not put it past the rich people to, you know, turn the homeless into you know, some kind of food stuff and sell it to people who just barely have a place to live. They, of course, would not eat it. But yes, so Soylent Green is on its way, that's for sure. And thank you, Roger. So I'm going to want to read one more. Oh, book. Here's one.
Hello, Eddie. I got a question about books, you know, like I don't read a lot of books, and I was wondering if there's any books out there that you could recommend that, you know, had a positive impact on you. Anything with a positive impact. I don't want to read any books about anything else, but thank you very much.
Yeah, that one made me laugh in a way. I don't want to read any books that don't have a positive impact. But yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I think books in general have a positive impact. There's something about reading instead of watching. It's such a voyeuristic
world now. It's everybody's watching stuff instead of reading stuff, and it's still amazing. It's always amazing to read stuff, and plus the great thing about reading as well is that it slows down your mind. And I haven't been reading enough. I mean, I have tons of books right next to me. The Familiar by Mark Z. Danilowski. Stalin Ate My Homework by Alexei Sale. Noam Chomsky, Who Rules the World. I have Dashiell Hammett's The Maltese Falcon. I have P.J. Wodehouse, Jeeves and Wooster. But Positive Impact, they all, you know, books in general have a positive impact. The Humans, as I did with my wife when I did a podcast with my wife on books, try The Humans. That's a great book with a positive impact. But that is funny, you know, what books have a positive impact. But we have to get to our sponsors. We still have a couple of more calls, but our sponsors are so important. And this is a new sponsor too. This is Feather Touch Mattresses. It seems like new mattresses are being developed every month. Memory foam, space feathers, quilted human flesh. How do you know what is right for your family? Feather Touch Mattress is a name you can trust because our mattresses have been time-tested by you, the consumer. We are the first company to promise speedy as-is dumpster-to-door delivery with only a feather touch of human contact. You work hard and have a lot on your mind. You need a new mattress at a reasonable price with hassle-free delivery. You can rely on our mattresses to provide you with the familiar comfort and coziness you expect from a good night's sleep. Travel the world of smells with bedding we found behind a cafeteria. Drift off to sleep on our patented pillow top raccoon nest model. Cuddle up to your loved one on a Rorschach test of stains so intriguing that it was once labeled Exhibit A. Visit the petting zoo at Dreamland, a wondrous menagerie of bed bugs, crabs, and good old-fashioned chiggers. Whatever your preference, Feather Touch Mattresses are your one-stop shop for mattresses at an affordable price. Okay, so that's Feather Touch Mattresses. And what I can say there, folks, is that not all these commercials are winners, okay? Anyway, Feather Touch Mattresses, new sponsor. Let me see. Do we have any more? Let's see. Let's see. Now, the number, by the way, these calls are, if you want to leave a comment, it's 424-262-0904. The number that you can call that I'm reading from today and you're listening to is 424-262-0904. Let's see if we have one more. This is a great one. Here we go.
Hey, Mom. So Anna wanted me to call you and tell you that please come for the barbecue, but please don't bring the potato salad, okay? You know what happened last time, and it would just be easier if you just, like, didn't bring the potato salad, okay? Anna's got your recipe. She's doing fine. Pick up some cupcakes, but, you know, just enough with the potato salad, okay? Love you.
Okay, that was a guy who said, "Mom, don't bring the potato salad." So yeah, that was a creative one. Here's another one. That was just about, "Hey, Mom, don't bring the potato salad." It was someone pretending that he had called the wrong number. He had called his mother and said, "Don't bring the potato salad. Enough with the potato salad, Mom. Enough with the potato salad." That was a little like a little Prairie Home Companion-y, wasn't it? Here's one.
Hello. I was wondering, since today is 420 and pot is very popular, I was wondering, at a time in your life where, I don't think it's now, but if you had a time in your life where you were a pothead, and what that was like for you. All right, thank you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been sober for a while, but I was a big pothead. That was a question. Was there a time in my life where I was a big pothead? The gentleman left that on 420, which I find hilarious. We never celebrated 420. Every day was 420 for me at some point. But yeah, I mean, I loved pot for a while, and I loved it, and then it didn't work for me. And what I mean by that is that I just felt like I was wasting my life because I could not smoke it in moderation, and I was just a complete pleasure addict. I just wanted more and more weed, and I just wanted to get high and not do anything else. And I had all this talent. I felt how pretentious does that sound? But I had all this stuff I wanted to do with my life, and I felt like pot was just keeping me dormant. Now, I know some people just completely disagree with that and it works for them, but not for me. It didn't work for me after a certain point. I did smoke for many years. I smoked about 26 years. Oh my God. I started way too young. I started when I was 14. So yeah, that's way too young. But anyway, all right. Well, I'd like to thank Matt Rasamoto for our commercials and for producing. And this is Eddie Pepitone. Please, if you're in Woodstock, come to the Colony Theater. I'm going to put my Dread on stage. It's funny. Dread can be really funny, though. That's the source of my comedy. Colony Theater in Woodstock, New York, April 29th. My one-man show, In the End of Days, May 9th and 10th at the Lyric Hyperion Theater. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.